when we looked at sort of some of the political scandals that we see of late and the way in which politicians of both parties react to some of those scandals, we often hear that in yesteryear, in previous times, decades ago, allegedly these politicians would have taken responsibility and we would have seen real consequences come out of some of the scandals that we've seen. Are we looking through rose-tinted glasses, or was that an actual thing? Have we seen a change in the political culture?
Well, I think rose-tinted glasses have existed for a long time, as it happens. We only have to remember back some 20-odd years to John Howard's first ministry, when he lost a string of ministers to small mistakes. And then in his second term, magically, everything was put right. Actually, it was more a case of, no, we're not going to lose any more ministers. So the question has been around for quite some time. The consequences didn't play out so badly for John Howard, certainly coming up to the 2001 election, Children Overboard, which is a scandal in its own right. Politicians are often able to ride out scandals if they're not too bad. And when we say not too bad, there isn't some serious probity issues that affect their own supporters, or where their own supporters feel seriously let down. We only need to look to someone like Donald Trump, who has people backing him, even though they know all his faults and fidelities, and go, well, that's okay, because he's doing the right thing. We forgive that. If, however, you know, he suddenly decided to adopt, a black Muslim child, his supporters would suddenly become outraged by this. Now, you can actually see that if it's in line with what your supporters want, believe, think, or are prepared to allow, if the right policies are produced, then actually they'll let you do it. Of course, does that add up to, you know, 51% come ballot time? That's the next question.
Well, I guess the difficulty in some of these is certainly drawing the line in the sand where this goes over the edge from, you know, normal activity into corruption. Something like pork barreling, you know, can still make the argument the funds were diverted to where they were most needed, even if it looks a little bit sus to those on the outside. Or you can have a close personal relationship with somebody who is a bit dodgy without being dodgy yourself. Is there a difficulty in really establishing a framework as to what constitutes a scandal and an appropriate response and what doesn't?
Well, I think that's correct. Actually, the problem is that the framework or the definitions are themselves quite slippery. When we come to saying this person has done the wrong thing, the question is it legally wrong? If it is not legally wrong, then we might have some problems with its morals or its ethics, but actually they haven't necessarily broken the law. And our standard has become that we look to the law. Is it legal? If it's legal, we let it go. ITACs and all their various forms look to, has there been, you know, a breach of public trust? Yes. Then it's up to the public to rectify that through voting at the next election. If there's been a legal breach, and then we go to the next step and take it through the courts. And we can look to, you know, Eddie Obeid, we can look to McDonald, we can look to a few others who have been caught up in criminal activity, in which case they can go to jail. But where it's something like pork barreling, we're all susceptible, I suspect, to that form where we get a new railway, we get a new roadway, we get a new community pool or something similar. That form of pork barreling might actually suggest that perhaps all electorates need this, but some are favoured depending on which party's in power.
Would it be fair to say if it is, you know, okay, we've crossed no legal lines, but perhaps moral lines have been crossed, and yet politicians don't be seem to take responsibility. As you say, that goes to the court of public opinion, that goes to the voters themselves. But we see this change in the culture occurring. Would it be fair to say that voters are becoming more and more indifferent to these kind of scandals occurring?
I think they probably are. Certainly, if you like, on the right of politics, it's become a case of it doesn't matter what you do. You're a politician. That means something in and of itself. You're perhaps less morally upright, perhaps more morally or immorally susceptible, as it were. So if you're on the right, so long as the policies are right, then we'll keep voting for you, unless you do something really out there, which will probably be illegal. If you're on the left, it's a lot harder. This is the question where everybody comes up about wokeness. not really a question of wokeness, but those standards, particularly ethical standards, are set a little bit higher. So you saw this within the Labor Party coming up to the last election, the loss of Luke Foley. You've seen it, that sort of thing happen more on the left side of politics than on the right. So you actually held to a higher standard by your electors and particularly your party activists. So for the right, it's perhaps a little bit of a pass. As long as the policies are right, then the electors tend to go with it. On the left, it's a little bit harder. You've got to be seen to be the right person. Occasionally, you can be forgiven. I don't think we'd want to see a Labor minister sacked for bringing in a teddy bear, as happened many years ago under Hawke and Keating, but, or for that matter, a colour television. But you know, I think there are levels at which we now say, no, you can't, you know, act inappropriately to a female journalist if you're a male politician.
Mm. Well, certainly that's not unique within Australian politics. That's sort of a global situation we see there. In terms of those that would like to see politicians held more and more to account in the face of this kind of growing indifference or, you know, this perhaps unequal distribution of moral responsibility, what can be done? I mean, can anything really be done to repair some of the impacts long-term of this situation?
That would actually ask for a change in behaviour. Mm. Perhaps a breakdown of, you know, the tribalism that we're seeing developing, certainly in the United States, but also in Australia, the quite vehement tribalism between the different party tribes, which doesn't actually tend to extend much further than the party tribes, I have to say. Most electors look at it and go, do I get the policies I want? I'm happy. So if there was a breakdown in that tribalism, I think you'd see people being prepared to accept different things. Certainly there would be, can we improve the moral standards across the board? Okay, that's a tricky one for many politicians because, well, what is your appropriate standard? For the Premier, she'd say, but I haven't broken any laws. Well, she hasn't necessarily broken any laws. I certainly have not seen anything where it says she has broken laws in respect to Darryl Maguire or to community grants. We might have some concerns about it, but what standards do we actually apply? And do we need then to apply those standards more broadly? Again, this comes back to what are people prepared to accept? The hyper-tribalism that you saw in the United States means that it doesn't matter what your side does, it matters what the other side does. Your side can do no evil, as it were.
Rather a chilling thought to see us descend quite into the American stagmire right now. Look, I do appreciate your time on this one, Stuart. It is an intriguing one. It is a thorny one. I really do appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.